Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unified Caring, Caring Moments podcast. UCA Caring knows no bounds. We endeavor to be wherever caring is needed and help create caring communities everywhere. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at Unified Caring and check out our website, www.unifiedcaring.org, to see the many ways you personally can benefit by becoming a member. And now, here's the show.
Well, good morning and welcome to another flash frozen day in February. This is Karen, and this is the Caring Moments podcast. And my special guest today is my dear friend Lydia, who I thoroughly enjoy when she's on here. And we are going to be talking about today mental health in teens. Now, the thing is, with so much going on in our own communities, let alone the world, we can't even look at global problems because we have our own individual in our household. And are we checking our mental health? Are we checking our teens' mental health? Are we paying attention to their moods, to their habits, and their online activity? And if so, do we discuss what's going on in their life with open and honest dialogue, seeking to hear and understand what they're going through? And do we personally have someone that we adults can check in with? And are we seeking the positive and funny for inspiration, or perhaps music? Anything that we can do to shift our awareness to something that feels better in that moment is so worth it to explore a possible path back to happiness. So if you have any tips you'd like to share, just join in the discussion. Give us a call at 845-277-9382. Lydia, good morning to you. I hope everything is well and rocking in your world today. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Oh, well, good morning, Karen. It's wonderful to be here with you. I love coming on your Caring Moments radio show, and I love that you're inviting others to call in and bring some ideas. And I would love to hear how people view this issue and what they're doing in their lives to shake it up and keep it lively and just getting through it. Because I love that you're doing that, inviting people in. So I hope we get a caller. But if we don't, I love talking with you, Karen.
Yes, and that, I mean, if people want to call in, that's great. And if they don't, that's fine, too. Perhaps they will just hear something that they needed to hear or hear again that they hadn't really heard all the way through before. You know, something we talk about all the time, you know, in our families and in our communities, you know, and in our school. Kids that are back to school are still having problems, and kids that are not going to school and still in lockdown are really having some very serious problems with their own mental health because they've been removed from, you know, all of the things that are so important to teenagers. And you and I were teenagers at one time, you a lot sooner than me, but in your past.
It still seems like a lot
closer. Yeah, I think you're only like 20 now. So, you know, but yeah, when I was a teenager, I mean, there's so much, I mean, so much going on with school and friends and this and that. And then you add all of this into the mix. And teenagers and kids are so vulnerable right now. Don't you agree?
Well, I think there is a big hole in our community, just as a community, as a your own personal community or your community as a whole. I can only speak from my own personal experience, but I guess, you know, my dad always told me, if you're feeling one way, chances are there's 10 other people within a square mile of you feeling the same way. And I've also, you know, I've read about that, like the way people are genetically very similar, our minds all work kind of in a similar way. So chances are, yes, the way I'm feeling, somebody's going to resonate with it. So, you know, I can just go ahead and share my experience with my team, and you know, we can go from there.
I would love it.
Okay. Well, so I have 2 kids, a 10-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. And the other day she kind of said to me, she's like, her and I, our birthdays are a day apart. So she said, and it's in April. And she said, Mom, you know, we're going to be spending a second birthday in quote unquote quarantine. And I'm like, maybe, you know, that could be true. You never know. But our last birthday was, you know, immediately after the lockdown, and we got some takeout and did our best to have a good day, watched some movies. But at that point, nobody was really being social, and I think things have changed a lot since then, just in my own mind and the way I've dealt with the whole fear. And I specifically remember the day I was just like, I'm done with being afraid. It's not serving me. The benefit of having this fear of self-preservation of my health is being outweighed by the detriment that the fear was putting into our lives. And I just slowly opened up and started being social and creating some kind of what is, I guess, normal for us in our lives, and allowing my daughter to see her friends. And eventually, you know, school said it was going to open up, and it didn't. And they just went ahead with the whole Zoom thing for the beginning of the school year. And she was doing, like, some days it was 3 Zoom meetings, and some other days it was 4 Zoom meetings a day. The literature is, like, kids are required to have this many minutes of instruction time, which obviously was only being done online. And it was just, at that point, I was just infuriated. I was like, how can you have my daughter, like, be required to sit in front of a screen for nearly 300 minutes a day? I grew up when screen time was bad. What the heck is going on here? Now it's mandated.
Right? Right. So, yeah, you're supposed to limit your children's screen time, both computer and television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right? And now it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, there is studies that's physically not good for you, your posture, your eyes. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of education in how to get up and walk around and this and that. So she was failing. And I was like, okay, so this failing on top of isolation is, she was getting depressed. I'm like, how can I sit here and watch her, you know, fail? And the detriment I'm seeing on her inner spirit and her heart, that she's not doing well, is making her feel like she was incapable of anything. And I pulled her out of the high school, and I put her into a charter school. And we're lucky to have a good charter school in this area that, first of all, they were used to doing quote-unquote independent study, which they're calling, I guess, it's more like distance learning, and it's not independent. So the charter school did something a little different. It was independent study. We were able to meet with the teacher. We were able to tailor her curriculum so she could feel successful. And to me, that was the most important thing, is that she could feel successful in whatever that meant.
Right. I think that is an awesome testament to your daughter and to you as her mother, to see what was going on and stepping in and finding another avenue for her so that she could feel successful. Because, you know, there's so many who don't have that opportunity, right? And
exactly, yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Bip.
I just was going to say, like, I can't speak from everyone's experience. Like, maybe some people don't have a good alternative. They don't have a good charter school in their area. But everybody in America does have opportunity to do actual homeschooling. There is a paperwork process of it. I did look it up because that was one of the options I was looking at. We looked at enrolling her in the other high school, which they weren't taking anybody new. Because they were in person, a lot of people wanted to do that. There was a lot of different options. I looked at a GED. Apparently, you can't get that till you're 18 now. So I was, because I thought maybe she got her GD, then she could at least do some college, you know, some junior college courses or something. We were exploring literally everything. So there is options for people out there. I just think part of getting to that place of knowing you have a choice is kind of just opening up your mind. And that's something I would really like to also talk about with you, is because we are faced right now with choice and in the midst of all this control. And I think the more people wake up to that they do have a choice right now, because we did have an extraordinary change in culture and society back in March of 2020. We completely changed, you know, like, and what I'm trying to say here is that people don't need to do exactly what the school is saying, because they're literally making this up as they go. You know, like they have never done this before. Who's to say that this is the best way for these kids? You know, we could come back in 10 years and be like, this was the worst decision we ever did. We should have done, you know, had all kids meet in groups of 10 and or whatever it was, you know. So what I'm saying is we do have a choice, and it's just kind of gaining that power back and empowering yourself with that choice right now. You know, people are working from home. People are still schooling from home. But how do we integrate our schedules? How do we integrate, like, steady things in our lives? And what are the choices we have in the midst of what seems like such a kind of oppressive environment? We do have mm-hmm. choices. So that's something that I think is important for people to kind of wake up to as well.
Exactly, and just start researching. You're right, we do have choice. We have unprecedented choice. It does make us look at what we're doing as far as schooling and our children go, and there are a lot of other options out there. Now, you mentioned you looked at her getting her GED. Now, I'm not sure about if it's different everywhere, and it probably could be.
I think it's different state to state.
Yeah. Here, as long as you, you can take your GED once your class graduates, right? And so I have my son has a friend who did exactly that. She dropped out of high school, and her parents put her in, and she's taking classes at college and at a junior college. And at the same time, when she is able to have to take her GED, she will also have at that time enough credits to graduate with her college degree. So, and then at that point, they really don't look at high school. They look at then it's, you know, they see that you've had college. I know several kids
right.
who have done this throughout the years. And mm-hmm. They're all that much better for it, you know. My older
exactly.
son, when he went to, he started in CAD at the local junior college, and he said, it's too much like high school. I can't stand this. And, and that was it. So he decided after a year of that he went and then went to a different – he went to a massage therapy school and then became a licensed therapist, and he used to work in sports on athletes. And,
wow.
You know, and he
– That's great.
Absolutely, you know, he loved that. But, you know, even junior college is not for everybody, right? But in this
right,
instance,
right.
when – you're having this type of challenge, depending on, you know, what is said for your state, you know, that you can, you know, she could take her GED at 18, but still enter.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to get any credit until she actually gets her GED and passes it. So,
well,
you know,
yeah.
that's, I
and
still think
15.
That's a lovely idea.
Yeah,
right?
If she had been older, we probably would have gone with that route and waited a little bit. But being that she's 15 and she's a sophomore,
exactly.
we just decided
exactly.
to do. And then there is options within the charter school, too. Are you going to do it to get all the high school credit, or are you going to do it to, as you want to do it and at the pace you want to do it, and with kind of the plan of going to a junior college to get those credits to go to college. And that's sort of the plan we took, because it's honestly the least stressful plan right now. And for her to get some kind of social time and just some set place she needs to be, I encouraged her to get a job, because she wanted a job too. She wanted some money, and she works at a local restaurant, and it's been really good for her. And I just love to watch her, you know, do her hair and get on her little apron, and she's out the door and, you know, meeting other people that are also her age and want to be motivated to do something with their life. It's just a different way to go about things, and it's kind of old fashioned in a way, if you ask me.
I agree. Oh, I totally agree. And this has helped her, I would imagine, enormously emotionally. And with her own teenage, 15, 16, those are tough years for a girl. I remember those. And, you know, they are extremely tough years. And having a daughter myself, you know, my mom always told me, you'll get one just like you, but 10 times worse.
Oh, you know,
the curse of the mommies, you know. And boy, did
us
she
ladies
test
are pretty
it,
dynamic.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, but so there is something to be said for what you did for your daughter to help her not only with her school and curriculum and feeling like she can succeed with that, but then on top of it, she also got a part-time job working and being able to interact with people. And I think that's what we're all missing the most. And I think that is the emotional disconnect that so many children are feeling when they are, you know, forced to sit in front of a computer all day, that they're missing out on, you know, a lot of that engagement, which helps them grow. It stunts their growth, actually, to be missing out on it, because they miss all of the, you know, the good, the bad, and the great about teenage years. And, you know, so there are some, sadly, there's a number of children who are committing suicide on a daily basis, and it breaks my heart for these children that they think that is all that they have left to do. And
yes, it's heartbreaking.
You know,
it's
devastating. It is absolutely devastating to
it
parents
is.
And to the family. And my younger son, a couple of years ago, did a suicide awareness project and talked with a friend of mine whose son had committed suicide, and he was a new dad, and you know, and the hole that left, you know, in that family, you know, everybody needed somebody to talk to deal with, and this poor child is never going to know how great her dad really was, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the great things, there's many, many great things about membership with Unified Caring Association, and one of those tremendous benefits is free 24/7 hotline counseling, correct?
Right, and I believe that the benefit has still been expanded to be unlimited calls. Don't quote me on that, but before COVID, it was 5 calls for free, and now I believe that during these times, it's unlimited at this point. I'm not exactly. Don't quote me on that, but that's I'm not sure if that has ended or not, but I imagine it's still going on right now. It's right there when you log in on under, I think it's health, or I think it's under the health section of benefits. It's a 24-hour crisis counseling where you have access to a licensed therapist to just talk to. And, you know, that can be something that saves someone's life, or just, you know, it can help you through a really tough moment, because, I mean, sometimes you don't want to talk to your friends and you want to keep up this appearance that everything's okay, or you know, you don't want to talk to your family. You're trying to be strong, and you don't want them to know, like, how much it is hurting. And, I mean, imagine for parents, it's also very difficult to see their kids struggling and then maybe you're out of work or whatever is going on. I mean, I can just imagine it could be really helpful for somebody right now.
Right, especially with so much going on, with so many people out of work, and what's going on in Texas, that is unreal. And stores are completely out of food, and you can't get anywhere. The roads are frozen, and and no power, no heat, and and when you factor in all of that on top of all of this other craziness. You know, we really do need to check in on one another, you know, to make sure everything is okay, you know. And as Lane says, when somebody is asking you the question, how are you? Or if you're asking somebody the question, how are you? Listen to what they say. You know,
answer truthfully if you feel like you've got the guts to do it. You know, I used to say,
right,
well,
exactly.
You know,
answer
it all the time. I might not be that great right now, but sometimes it takes a lot of guts to just be like, hey, I'm really not doing that good, but thanks for asking.
Right.
Who knows, maybe that person
yeah.
really does care and they do listen.
Right, exactly. And I think that's how we can help one another. Feel, you know, to feel better, and and especially when it comes to our children, somebody else's children, you know, do a check on them. And you know, if you have good relationships with the parents of your children's friends, you know, talk to the children and just make sure that they're doing okay. Sometimes kids don't tell their parents, but they'll tell another adult.
True.
Right?
True. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, I had, as I've mentioned a bazillion times, when my older son and all of his friends, you know, basically lived at my house, I knew those children better. I knew everything about them because they knew I wasn't going to judge them like their parents would. So if your kids are lucky to have somebody like that, a parent who respects you and won't judge you for what's going on in your life, then, you know, that is a big thing for other kids. And it makes me so sad that children do not recognize the true power that they have, and they are so invincible. They really are. They are so invincible, and they're back.
They're resilient.
Yeah, you know, they are resilient. Thank you. That is the perfect word. And when they feel like they're not that, and that the whole world is closing in on them, too, the only thing that is going to make them feel better is to take their own life is so sad, because they have so much life left to learn.
Well, it's been hard because, you know, when you're going through a hard time, if you can see light at the end of the tunnel, then, you know, well, okay, this is temporary, but I think we've all been sort of caught in this, like, time loop bubble thing where like the goalposts keep getting moved out further and further, and things just start to seem worse and worse, and when will it ever end and go back to normal? It can be really frustrating because you don't see that light at the end of the tunnel when things will get better, or you'll have those things that you enjoyed. And it's just for me, I've just been feeling a lot of nostalgia, like, oh wow, like, because it really literally feels like I'm just in a new life now, a new world. And so those things, I just think those old memories, they come back in a way that's like, it's like it was a dream or something, you know? So I think and I treasure those memories of the way things were. And that said, I don't want to go back to normal. There's a lot of things about that old normal that were also constricting. You know, like I said, we do have choice now. So I think, you know, we have an opportunity to ask ourselves, what can we do right now? What can we do to go forward? Because what can we do to adapt? Whether that's learning a new language or learning about your emotions, seeing a therapist, learning about yourself, whatever your coping mechanisms are, you know, getting a special interest, studying something you enjoy, forgetting about what is expected of you. I think that those things might really, really help, because the nature of that adaptation, it's just going forward. And that's what we really have to look at these days, because if we're just stuck wishing for what we used to have, it's the depression will set in worse. And I mean, we have to treasure those memories and try to hold on to what was good about those days and integrate them back into our lives in this new world. You know, if you have family that's not afraid to visit you, then great. You know, if you do have family that's still afraid to visit you, then get close to your neighbors. I don't, you know, bring them, bake them something, bring them something. You know, we all have neighbors, and I think we all need to, I mean, unless you're in the middle of nowhere, and then, you know, maybe you're happy. You know, you can go out your back door and do whatever you want. But most of us have neighbors, and we can knock on someone's door. Hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? And I think that if we really connect in that way, we can socially come through a grassroots way that we are connected, and we don't need these systems and structures to have that in our life. We don't need school or our 9-to-5 traditional way of working to have those connections with people. You know, love thy neighbor. It's you know who said that. Anyway, it's one of those things that is true. We can love our neighbors, and it can bring us closer to that sense of well-being. And knowing your neighbors goes, it's service. You can bring their trash cans in, you can shovel their snow. I mean, that's something teenagers can do. They can get out and work, and they can help their old elder neighbors. They can do things like that. And I think, you know, if we look for those opportunities, and just like I said, forget about what's expected of us from these false expectations of 300 minutes in front of a computer. You know, that's just my take on it. It's like, how is that important in helping a kid grow? If it's not helping, forget about it. I'm sorry, and I know people don't want their kids to fail, but, like, find a different way. I don't know, you know? That's how, like, I look at things these days.
Just yeah,
find
so, you know,
what's
creative,
what's your
out of the box. Right. You know, it's creative. It's out of the box thinking, and when you start to research other avenues of doing things, you find mm-hmm. a lot of different things you haven't even thought of, and probably several things that you can try to do. Now, you had mentioned, you know, finding something new to do, or read a book, or, you know,
the
there's other things.
Yeah.
Right, you know, music, animals, volunteer
yes,
at
yeah.
a shelter, volunteer,
yeah.
you know, all of these different, there are so many different ways to get involved and feel like you are making a difference. And I think kids really do want to make a difference. I think children do, and they're being really shorted on their abilities, and
they're a lot more capable than we were. That's all, you know, just, I mean, my kids are way smarter than I was. I can say that at least.
Oh, I can say that too. My kids, you know, are geniuses compared to me.
Right? I don't, like, wow, you that came out of your mouth, kid? You're pretty smart.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the one thing I can always do is I can always make fun of me. That's like, you know, I've got no problem doing that. I am so far from perfect. I am so flawed.
It's a fun subject.
You know, it's not. Yeah, right. It really is. And crazy is like a short trip for me, you know. But, you know, where's the humor? Where's the laughter? Where's the movement? Where's all of that? I'm a hugger, and I will hug people. You know, I don't do this fist bump or this elbow bump. You know, it's get in here and give me a hug. And
you're like, are you ready for
you
it?
Know,
here
so
I come. I'm coming in for a hug.
It's right. You know, it's just, it, you know, we need each other, and our children need their friends, and they need a social, they need the social experiment. And quite frankly, that's really what it is, you know.
Yeah,
society is, you know, 7 billion plus people. So that means everybody's reality. You have 7 billion plus different realities. So when you understand the meaning of that phrase, it's like, yeah, let me make my own. Let me do my own. Let me make my own mistakes. Let me learn my life my way. And thank you for helping guide me. Right?
Yeah, there's so many choices now. I mean, and yeah, the technology, it's being overused in a very kind of controlling way. But then on the other side of it, there's things like amazing things. There's pen pal programs. There's Skillshare, which you can learn all these different things. I mean, there's all these different ways to learn and get into involved in really cool things as well. So,
right.
I mean, it's just like a choice. How do we use our, how do we use
right.
this technology in a good way? How do we learn to make right choices? How do we get discernment? It's a whole process we're all going through, and we're all at different stages of it. But, you know, eventually enough people will have gone through this process and will be ready to kind of build something better. So I do have hope, and I do feel really for all these kids out there that are struggling to find hope. And, you know, they, you know, it's hard. And I, you know, just continually pray for everybody. It's a rough situation, especially, like, thank you for mentioning everybody in Texas. And I just wish I could do something. I had a friend down there. I check on them, make sure they're all right. So, family.
Yeah, that's a bizarre thing that happened in there. But we are out of time, sweet lady. So you will have to come back, and we will continue this conversation. And for people listening, check in with your kids. You know, don't take, you know, the closed door for the answer. Yeah, exactly. You know, be there. Ask them. Hug them. They need it. Let them out to play.
They do.
They need that, too. Yeah, you know, because we're always telling the kids, get outside. Go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
Quit playing on your Xbox or your PlayStation or whatever it is that you're doing. Get your butt out and play. And now it's stay in and look at your computer and play your Xbox.
Well, I don't get that. Like, how is being outside, like, bad for you when, you know, being outside is like the best thing you can do. So, yeah, go outside.
I agree. But, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, Lydia, thank you so much again for being with me today. I always appreciate you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks.
And
I appreciate
stay
you
warm.
So much.
Stay warm. Yeah. All
okay,
right, darling.
I will.
You
too.
Take care. We'll talk soon. All right. Thanks.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys, that's it. That is another episode of the Caring Moments podcast, brought to you by Unified Caring Association, a nonprofit organization. Visit them at www.unifiedcaring.org. Till next time, be well and hug.